Well, today is February 3rd, still 1989, and we are going to have an interview with Glenn Eaton. Glenn's going to be here momentarily, and as soon as he gets here, we'll just turn the tape on and begin our conversation.
That's the U.S. Coast Guard. It's right up on that.
Yeah. Oh, the Academy. We were there this last fall. Very, very pretty.
There's an article on the Eagle.
Extraordinary classroom. Is the Eagle, that is an ex-Nazi boat, is that right?
That's right. Uh-huh. That has quite a history. When they took that over, there was nobody around who could sail her back. So they kept the crew as prisoners of war. They brought the ship back to...
Oh, yeah,
it's quite a story.
Never heard that.
Yeah. Big Grand Haven.
That looks, I was going to say, that looks familiar. I wonder who that fellow is waving.
That's, Oh, boy, I know him just as well. He was here a couple of years ago. Admiral, I'll tell you his name when he is. Here is the...
This is the Escanaba.
Yeah. Breaking ice.
That did some pretty good ice breaking.
Oh, yes, it was a good one.
And there, I've never seen that with the...
When she's camouflaged for war.
Yes.
Right.
And there's O'Malley.
And there's our mast over the side. That's our mast right where he is.
Right here.
Right, and yeah, see, it shows the whole thing. O'Malley standing here.
Yes, right. Were you involved in dedicating that mast?
I dedicated it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, no, I have to tell you a story about that.
All right.
Okay. The Coast Guard Festival didn't do that. You didn't know that? The Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
I was president then.
Okay, what year was that?
1944.
Don't be daring.
Oh, yes. And there is the Raritan, the log sheets from the Raritan, when they picked up the survivors.
From the Raritan?
Sure, the Raritan picked them up. You're going to learn a lot of history here.
You know, I may have heard that. I've forgotten it. In other words, the Raritan was part of that...
Convoy.
Convoy.
Yeah.
And so the Raritan ended up here...
Right.
Didn't realize that.
Right.
Huh. Well, what is your connection with the Coast Guard? You were not a member of the Coast Guard.
No. I got the Junior Chamber of Commerce, JCs now. They changed their name, you know.
Yeah.
And I was president. And we were always interested in the Coast Guard. I mean the JCs, the Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Uh-huh.
And my first contact with the Coast Guard... It was back when I was a forester of USDA, and I was on duty down in southern Indiana.
Yeah.
And we had a heavy flood, big floods.
Uh-huh.
And I was made a deputy marshal, United States Marshal. And I traveled with the Coast Guard, and we checked John boats, what we call river boats, John boats, made sure they were checked in every night and so on and so forth. And I had Coast Guard people with me. I had the power of arrest. I was just a young kid.
Uh-huh.
I had the power of arrest.
But you...
And they navigated from house to house to house because their water was up almost the second floor.
This is the Ohio River, I assume.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Down by Rising Sun, Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Paul Fortino was a chemist at Siemens in Lawrenceburg, right near there.
I'll be darned.
His wife is from Lawrenceburg.
Now, you didn't know him then, of course.
No. I assigned 3 Seaboys to work with her. And distributing clothing, so I didn't know her, never saw her.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. But in recollection, or in piecing it all
she's
together.
She's only worked at and so on. Now, let's see. What
is this now?
That is the burial, let's see. The next day.
Oh, it is.
Well, these are official records.
Uh-huh. So those that they had brought aboard but perished?
One.
Only one.
Lieutenant Cruzy.
Uh-huh.
And he was executive officer. He was picked up dead.
Oh, I see.
He was picked up. He was dead.
Probably frozen.
Well, it tells the whole story there.
Yeah.
And this will tell you the story of the Raritan when it rescued him.
Hmm. Huh. Boy, you've got quite a collection here.
Well, I made a study of the Coast Guard in Grand Haven.
You sure
and here's the whole story of the Coast Guard for the war.
At war again.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And
Now, do we have any... is Admiral Perkins mentioned in here?
Perky, that's Perky standing there.
Oh, that is Perkins.
That's Perky.
Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Boy, I'm glad. Yeah, I think
that's his ship.
That's Perky, when he canoed the Escanaba.
Sure.
He was the first commanding officer.
Yes, right.
And I have the letter. I can't find the second page. I looked for it this morning. That he wrote back to the commandant, because he had the choice between Muskegon and Grand Haven to dock the Escanaba. He could make his own mind up. Hmm. Where he wanted it. And he wrote the nicest letter about congratulating the people of Grand Haven for their hospitality and goodwill on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really a nice letter. I wish I could find a second sheet. Yeah. I haven't found it yet, so I will.
But that relationship had been built up over a period of years.
Well, we had the life-saving station here. We had the... it's been here since 1877. We had a life-saving service. And what else did we have? There was another group that worked on wrecks and so on and so forth. Maybe you'll find any history there.
Yeah.
I have
a life-saving service. Well, of course, it started out as a revenue service, then it went to the life-saving.
The life-saving service. Then there was another group after that.
Yeah.
And then, I will run across
that. Yeah, region. Okay.
And then to bring you up to date, here is the new Escanaba fact sheet of number 3.
Oh, really? You went out to that, did you?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. No, I didn't go east.
Uh-huh.
But I went to, I was down here at the Eskimo. I got a cap from the commander and so on. And,
I wonder if that will get here for the 200.
Well, I don't know. What I would like to do, I'd like to really see if we can't get the anchor from Escanaba 2 and put it out there on 7th Street, where we have that D where we come in.
Oh, yes.
And
oh, sure.
And set it there.
Uh-huh.
Now, George Steinbeck and I have been working on that, but I haven't got to first base yet. We'll get there.
Sure, that's where Beacon Boulevard and...
That's right. Wouldn't that be nice to have a big Escanaba anchor there?
It would. We need something. That's kind of the entrance.
I can't get that. I'm working with Mizell.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get something out of Mantua.
Uh-huh.
I wanted the Escanaba.
Well, do you know that it's available?
It's in dry dock. It's not dry. It's in the ship is tied up. It's going to be done away with. You can decommission in time.
It our ship.
It. Escanaba 2 is ours.
Yeah, right.
We have the plaque from it, you know, the plate.
Yeah, and where is that?
That is, was, I think it's in the museum now.
Oh, good.
But that was a bond run. Okay.
Yes.
Then, I worked on, George Pardee was a good worker with me.
Uh-huh.
And we brought the Christian Radic in here, he and I, on the slide. We had one girl.
I remember where that came in.
Yeah. Well, we worked maybe 2 years on that to get her in here.
Uh-huh.
And so it was, everything was confidential. We had letters typed various places, various secretaries. Everything was done undercover. We didn't want Muskegon to know.
It had been to Muskegon, of course.
Well, just came in. When Muskegon heard it was coming, then finally... They had, when they circled just the lake, they'd come right back out and come down here.
Oh, that was
That's
it.
All they did.
Uh-huh.
So, okay. So I've got a... I've taken over where George left off in some of this stuff. And I'm working on the Danmark. Now, the Danmark is another ship that was brought in, and it was used as a classroom.
Yeah.
For the Coast Guard. And because they didn't want to go back across the ocean due to the submarine problem and so on and so forth.
The Danmark, now.
Danmark, now. That's another ship.
That's a tall ship?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
uh-huh. Okay.
And it's owned by the Danish government, designed by A.A.G.E. Larsen and built in N.A.K.S.K.O.V. shipyard in 33. Three-masted, full-rigged, steel-hull ship with diesel engines. The length of the yardarm of flying jib is 250 feet. That's a big mast.
Yeah,
the width is 33 feet and the top of the mast is 130.
Wow.
So you see how wide
that's spread,
So I thought you'd like to have that.
It's a
and I've been working with that gentleman here.
And you're working for 1990.
Okay. Then, for all this work that we were doing, I was presented a medal to the Coast Guard.
Let's see. In recognition The commandant.
Oh, yeah, Bender. That goes back some years, 1970-something.
Assisted greatly in furthering the aims and functions of the Coast Guard, takes pleasure in presenting the Meritorious Public Service Award. 73. And a medal came with it, I assume.
Oh, yes. I have a medal and I have a button.
Yeah. Is that true that all medals have a lapel pin?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Even Purple Hearts and...
I don't know about Purple Hearts myself.
Yeah.
But I know that this one did.
Boy, that's very nice.
The SEALs receive those.
That comes in a very prestigious
order. Oh, yes, the man down on my desk, you can see it's getting warped.
1790?
Yeah.
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 Well, you know, you mentioned the CCC. Now,
right.
You started where? The CCC?
Salt Creek Project in Zanesville, Ohio.
That was your home down in
there? No, I'm from Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
I went to Penn State.
Well, did you? Now, did you graduate from Penn State?
Penn State. Yeah. I went to the Mount Alto Forest Academy first.
Uh-huh.
Governor Pinchot was the started that years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I remember him when he was governor. And I knew the man. My dad was state controller for the Pennsylvania.
Oh.
After we got out of the coal mine business.
Uh-huh.
So I got to know a lot of these people. But anyways, there were hundred of us chosen. And I didn't care. They go to this Forest Academy. And the first, I got $2 a day to go to school. And I waited tables and everything else. We all had duties to do. We were all on scholarship.
What year are we talking about now?
I'm talking about 1932.
$2 a day was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still up next week. I'll be 75.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Time goes fast.
Well, man, I tell you, your memory is still sharp.
Yeah, well, I wish it was better. I shouldn't have read. It's not perfect.
Oh, that's right.
Well, anyway, I started there. Then I was transferred around a great deal. And we got a notice. Well, first of all, I was in Indiana, and I was in Michigan. Not Michigan, excuse me. We're in Ohio, then Indiana again. Then they sent me back to Ohio. Then I was sent up here. And I came here July 4th, 1939.
39.
39. Uh-huh. So I'm a citizen, I think.
Yes, that's right. What do you think? In Hawaii, it's 7 years or miss 7 votes.
So I went ahead and I was in the Junior Chamber of Commerce. We had quite an active group. And most of the guys in my group were passed away. But I was president of that. Claude was in that group. I think Claude and I were the only two left.
Uh-huh. Oh, I know one that still is, though. Lee Arnold. Do you remember Lee?
Was he the school teacher?
Uh-huh. And the reason I say that...
then he was before my time.
Well, he must be about 75, or he could be older than that.
Right.
You see, the reason I say that, this film that you fellas made, or that they made, is dead in 1940.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was...
Were you involved in that?
No. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. But I knew about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oscar Anderson was very involved.
That's right. And it was a wild boy.
Yes, Potts Wild.
Potts Wild.
Yes,
he
right.
Involved.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. But we got down to 7 people when the war broke out. And so, of course, our camp was turned over to the Coast Guard.
Oh, okay.
And so I handled the transfer. So I got acquainted with all these new people who came in.
Uh-huh.
And Bill... Hurst.
Oh, yes.
He was a custodian of the stock room. He had all the clothing, he had everything.
Supply sergeant.
Supply sergeant.
Yeah.
Well, they don't call him a sergeant in the Navy.
What they be called, probably the petty officer.
He was probably a chief of petty, chief of petty officer, something like that. And so that's when I met Bill. And so we converted camp over. So when, let's see, who was the mayor then?
Would have been Cook.
No. Wessel?
Was Don Wessel's...
No, Don Wessel's dad, he was in the light saving station at one time, right?
Yeah.
Don Wessel's dad. Well, there was a mayor about that time. He'll be in there someplace.
Uh-huh.
All right, I can't remember all his names. And anyway, he said, well, we wanted a project. And he says, I know where we can get the mask. The oldest one.
Hmm.
See? So that was quite a thing for us. And so we went ahead and he worked on it. He found the mast down at Battle Creek at a Coast Guard station down there.
Now, I'll be there in Battle Creek at a Coast Guard station.
So he, I don't know how he worked it. Anyways, he got it back up here. And the Coast Guard personnel at the 3C camp picked that all up. We used to have those brass, what do they call those skins on a ship?
Belaying pins.
Okay. Brass ones, and they were stolen.
Uh-huh.
We had a lot of nice ones there. They were stolen in those times. And so they erected the mast. The Board of Lightning Power helped out. And I wasn't connected to the Board of Lightning Power in those days. And so, anyways, we dedicated that to VFW. Of the dedication. And I'll get you a copy of the program. They're looking for one now. From 1944.
Yeah.
So, what they did, they had a memorial service and invited all the relatives and the relatives, mother, dad, and so on, of those who were lost on the Esplanade to Grand Haven. And that was handled by Claude Verdine.
Mm.
And he was Chamber of Commerce manager then.
44, is that right?
That's right.
Ah.
That's right. He was a Chamber of Commerce man.
He had replaced, who was Bill, what was Bill's name? Stribley?
No. Stribley was after him, wasn't he?
No. Claude was after
him. Claude goes way back.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I would. Claude was involved.
Yes.
And they invited these people to Grand Haven for memorial service.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1944, we had the mast up, and then we had our real dedication of the mast to Esplanade people. And then we went ahead, and as far as I'm concerned, that's when the Coast Guard Festival started. Before that time, they had picnics, parades, and things like that. But it wasn't Coast Guard.
Uh-huh.
It was Coast Guard personnel mostly.
Yes.
And they would meet over at the station. They'd have a picnic and so on.
Over on the other side.
Right. Uh-huh. Right. So I felt that when I've gone over the history of this thing, I recognize it that the memorial service in 1944 was really the guts of the whole
thing. Yeah, yeah. Claude says the same thing.
He does?
Yep, that it really didn't have any meaning.
That's right. It didn't have any, it wasn't gel.
Uh-huh, right.
That's right. But I'm glad we're, our story was
yeah, right, yeah.
Because
yeah.
Claude and I served quite a few years. In fact, I tried to resign and get away with it.
Well, you're still going on it, aren't you?
I'm still going because they never answered, replied to my letter. The doctor said I had to make some adjustments.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I went through quite an ordeal.
I know you did.
And so, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's been very interesting. I've seen the time when there was only three of us on the team. Clive and Charlie and myself. And we went ahead.
Now this goes...
This goes back to 44, 45, 46, 47, and so on.
Uh-huh.
See?
Uh-huh.
And we kept it that way for many, many years. It got so that we couldn't handle it. Then I was elected to the city council.
Uh-huh.
Short time. I forget the year. Six. I forget the year.
48,
9. 54, I think it was 53. Uh-huh. Or something. Well, anyway, so that's when I got... Well, I knew Doc Cresson at the time because we used to have blonde parties up here.
Sure.
And we used to have fun and do that. We used to have
Sure.
And so we, when he became mayor, when I dropped out, I didn't run for mayor, but I had appointed Doc in the council to fill a vacancy.
Well, when you did.
When I took over as mayor because Azudeman, remember Azudeman?
Yes.
Azudeman right. was transferred to Ann Arbor someplace. And I was president pro tem of the council, mayor pro tem.
Uh-huh.
So I took over. So then it was a vacancy.
So you were mayor before Bill?
No, Bill had been a member, but he had dropped out, I guess.
That
I don't
remember.
I think that was it.
Uh-huh.
He had dropped out. I'm not positive. He didn't.
Yes.
He was in there quite a while. But anyway, I got him to come back.
Uh-huh.
And we had a real strong council. Claude Verdine was, when I first went on the council, Claude Verdine was mayor.
Okay, now we're talking about 50. One, two, three, somewhere in there.
I think it was 54 I went on the council. I'm not positive. Uh-huh. I don't remember all these dates.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Singerling and the old-timers. They're the most They're all gone.
Yeah.
Public pride. He and I are sticking it out. Well, anyway, we had this Coast Guard Festival really got underway. Charlie was co-director, and Bob was director and vice president. So we'd go to Charlie.
Just the three of you.
Three of us. So we had cooperation for the VFW. They bought the meat and everything like that, these dinners. We had the American Legion. They turned their face over to us. We had churches help. Everybody was helping. Because it was a town deal. We included everybody.
Uh-huh.
And so they enjoyed it. Of course, that was a generation of people that appreciated these things. Today, we're not quite like that.
Yes, that's true.
We're getting away from that. Uh-huh. But so we went ahead and we ran this. Charlie had some very good contacts. Charlie is maybe at times that he was hard to get along with. But I'll tell you one thing, he was dedicated to Coast Guard.
He must have been.
He wasn't afraid to go into the Navy to ask him for a Coast Guard boat. You know what I mean? And he did that once.
Is that right?
Yeah, he went in there as a Navy officer. We were down in Washington. And so he was going to go to the Coast Guard next. But so he had to wait for somebody there. So he decided to call the Coast Guard from the Navy.
That's it.
We used to get into some pretty good argument at the time. Cloud and I would both leave the store. I'd go one way, he'd go the other. I'd get my car. 5 minutes later, we were back together. But we met every noon.
Down at the store. You mean
down at
the Charlie store.
Yeah, Charlie fixed that little office up back there, so it was decent.
Oh, yeah. Was there anything decent back there?
That was the only thing. And then he plastered everything over the place. But anyway, Charlie and Todd, honest, I've never met people so dedicated.
Yeah.
As they are. So, of course, that's that. Yeah. So I'm getting back to the point of my story.
Yeah.
When Dr. Prisson became mayor, I said to him, well, I think we should have the American City Award. So he said, go ahead. So I went ahead to try to do it. And in our survey, now these are figures that are hard to believe, we went ahead and found out how many people were directly responsible for the Coast Guard Festival, involved, and how many really had a close association. How many do you think it was?
2,300. Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, it included all of the VFW. Masonic
Lodge.
I see. Masonic Lodge was involved. The merchants were all involved. Everybody was involved.
You know, when you consider the town is 10,000, roughly, not including anything outside, that's a lot of people.
But you can imagine the feeling that the three of us had when all these people were offered to help.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, we tried to put on some public relations deals, which we did do. Now this is the Coast Guard Festival thing I'm talking about now. And we went ahead and there was one boy. He was disabled. And so we went ahead and we paid for a ramp being built for him. So it's real cheap to go in the house. Things like that. We did things like that.
Is that right?
Our Coast Guard people. We never said anything about it. Well, we did those things. And
now let me get this straight. This fellow was not a Coast Guard.
Oh, yes, sir. He had been off the ship.
Okay.
Oh, yes. He was a Coast Guard man.
Uh-huh.
Well, we can find most of our activities for Coast Guard.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, here's a guy who's going to be discharged. And, of course, he gets disability pay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to live on. You as well,
sure.
You know as well as I.
Uh-huh.
And so they had these expenses. So we built the ramp so he could live in his house.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, the
Coast Guard.
Coast Guard Festival Committee.
And the Coast Guard knows it.
Oh, you bet they know it.
Boy.
I think they do. Yes, because we work through the ship. You get that?
Well, what I'm saying is, when you talk to Coast Guard people, regardless of where you are in the world, in the country, they know Grand Haven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Then, when I was mayor, we started the honorary citizenship. And
that's a great...
That went across real well.
And is it still going?
Yes, but it's not like it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you how it used to be.
Uh-huh.
It took a lot of time. We went ahead and I'd write a letter. I wasn't on the city council. I started when I was on the city council. So I kept that part of the job, and then I said to Doc or the rest of the mayors, I would do that for them. And so I wrote a letter when I got a list of people and their addresses, where they were coming from. And I'd write a letter to them to welcome them to Grand Haven.
Oh,
then I would send them. I went down, tried to pack up a whole package of everything on Grand Haven, and they'd send it to him. Then when they got here, we wrote them another letter, and hoping their stay was nice and enjoyable and so on and so forth, and no problems they had or anything, but to really feel that they're part of the city and would help them out and anything we could do. So that went over real well. So then what we did after that, we went ahead and let's see, the next step on that was, oh, we would call those people to the city hall, the regular meeting, and they then were honored by the city council. It's only one buy-in to the temple. So he went ahead, we went ahead and made honorary citizens of them. They get a little plaque.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they still get that plaque. But when we first started this, Joe Fox was here. Remember Joe?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah. Joe was a lobbyist down in Washington.
Yeah, well, he would fit right in with your scheme of things.
Well, Joe and I, we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We worked all the time on this. And anyway, what we did then is we had to get the program off the ground. So we had all of the present Coast Guard people.
Good morning.
I don't know why I thought this was Saturday. Oh, Jim. Did you?
The Woodbine and the station up to the City Hall.
Yeah.
And their commanding officers.
Yeah.
And at that time, there was a man in Spring Lake. Gosh, I can't think of his name. But the man on the Woodbine was Joe Fox. And so we made them all honorary that night. And that got in the news. That went across the country.
Oh, sure. That's the sort of thing. That
and so the biggest problem we had was a group command in Muskegon. We never gave them the citizenship.
Uh-oh.
Because they're Muskegon. You know what I mean. We kept Grand Haven, Esperanza. So anyway, that's how we started. Then this other program just fell in.
Uh-huh. Tell me this, you were talking about group command. Was the group command ever here?
No, we didn't have a group command here, but we had a District 10 here, District 10 office.
Oh, yes, okay.
And that was moved to, it worked out of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Then they established an office in Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And then we just became, we have a group command up at Muskegon.
Uh-huh.
Now, the group command handles the personnel in stations.
Or it did. Now it's here.
Yeah, it's here now.
Uh-huh.
But the ships are handled by the Cleveland office.
I see.
If we want a ship in here, we call Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
And we get to know those people pretty well.
Uh-huh.
So that's how we start on our deal on the citizenship.
But that's still going on.
Yeah, but now here's the way they do it. At Coast Guard time, the mayor makes a visit to the station and makes a visit to the ship and presents them. I never agreed to that.
I think you're right. Having them come up here.
And a lot of, you know, boy, going there and the whole room is full because a lot of their pals came along, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Sure.
It's almost like graduation.
It was quite an honor for those
sure.
boys. And it was a privilege for us. I'll tell you that right now. I enjoyed it. But so then, that was one of the big projects we had. Then another big project we had was Coast Guard Band. I don't know if you realize, the Coast Guard Band wasn't a service band. It wasn't a member of the Armed Forces. Not a service band at all.
Yeah, of course,
It was an academy band.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it was directed by a warrant officer. So we had a senator from North Carolina. He went along and proposed a bill to make it a full service band.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And when it becomes a full service band, then a lieutenant, senior lieutenant or captain, directs the band.
Uh-huh.
When they only hold that station, maybe they were only a lower in rank, but when they take that over, they get that and they hold that rank as long as they're director. Oh, yeah, it's one of those things.
Isn't that so? So you guys got into the politics.
Claude and I wrote letters on the garage. I just threw them out here. About 6 months ago, in a pile that thick. Jerry Ford, we got a hold of Jerry. Jerry's an officer.
Yes, yes.
And Jerry got all the guys together, and it was one of the largest hearings they ever had on a bill at that time. And I want to bring I was looking for it this morning, Congressional Record.
Yes.
It's got a little story in it, too.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to look at it when I find it again.
What year was this then? Well, it would have been the 70s.
Oh, Lord.
60s. Jerry hasn't been our representative since the 60s, somewhere in the 60s.
Oh, well, that never meant much to us, because we always...
You still used him anyway.
We used him just like we used Banerjee.
Sure, absolutely.
If I have something on Bud Light and Power, I want to see go through.
You go through Guy.
I go through Guy. Now, Upton is learning.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He's a nice fellow.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But he's got a lot to learn, how to his way around down there, so... Jerry Ford helped him too, I guess, a little bit. Anyways, Banner Jackson's been our team.
Yeah.
So we did that. Let's see. So we got the band, the service band, and it was the first time that a Coast Guardsman stood as a guard on a casket of a president. Did you know that?
Didn't know that. No.
Because they weren't considered an armed service.
Uh-huh. But true. That's right.
Only during wartime.
Well, and why would they, in this particular case, because it was a bandsman? Or?
Well, they consider them, no, not the bandsman. They consider the Coast Guard a little more of a part of it.
Uh-huh. And that was Kennedy's?
That was one of the results of this man's bill. I never met the man. He was a senator. I never met him.
Uh-huh.
But I wrote him a letter of thanks.
Sure. Oh, well, listen.
So that is another project we did, but it's been interesting. Fern Verdine designed the license plate for him. Did you know
No, I didn't.
She did that.
Well, sure. And then
had
them stamped out, sold them. And,
right.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And so she had that whole program for us. Yeah. From the design on it.
Yeah.
So you can see it's been a very active thing.
When you got here in 39, according to Claude, the first Coast Guard parade or whatever was 37.
Right.
37, 38, so you were here, right?
Right.
39 would have been...
Well, see, that was a... They always had a parade.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Bogusky set the parade up, because at that time he was, as I understood it now, I could be wrong, he was manager of the 5 and 10 cent store down where the Oaks...
Oh, yes. That was McClellan's or...
McClellan. Yeah. He was a manager...
Yes. Oh, you bet it does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I've never been sure of, and maybe somebody, I'm sure you researched it, how do people know that the masses down there came off the Woodbine, if the Woodbine's at the bottom of the ocean?
Oh, excuse me. Tell you the story. That mast was removed. The Escanaba left here and went to Manitowoc.
Oh.
It was removed because they had a lot of gun there.
I see.
See what I mean?
Okay.
A lot of people ask the same thing. Don't feel about it.
Because here it is. It looks like a square rigger coming in that picture.
Right.
Yeah.
That's, so you understand why.
I thought maybe it had broken off and was floating around, and they decided but they wouldn't do that during war.
Then another project the boys had, I don't know if you, I don't know what Claude told you. We, since Charlie had a lot of interest in this because he used the Thunderbirds a lot. And we had that plane that we have out at the airport. That was awarded to us, the Coast Guard Festival Committee in the city of Grand Haven, as a memorial to the Thunderbirds.
Uh-huh.
And they were here at the dedication and all. They had a flyover and a whole deal for us.
I remember that.
You remember when the plane came in up at Muskegon, and it was in one of these huge cargo planes?
Oh, no, I don't.
And the way they had it in there, they folded everything up and put it in there, a whole airplane. There about that much clearance on both sides of it when they opened the front end and dragged her out.
Isn't that something?
So that was another project we had. We just had a lot of projects. We started the Easter egg parties in, and we had the Christmas party for the children, for the Coast Guard people.
Yeah. Well, you know, if the Escanaba was sunk, the story's in here, I'm sure. Do you remember the date?
The 13th of June.
In what year?
1944.
44?
43, isn't it? Look at your the sheet on the other.
Over here?
No, on the here.
It is 43.
43.
June 13, 19...
Right, here, the burial was on the 14th, right there's the dates.
Yeah, that's when he was buried.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you about another guy.
Okay. So, here it is right here without the mast on it.
Right.
Here you can see it with the war paint on it.
Yeah.
So, you were involved... or when was the second Escanaba dedicated? Was that 45, wasn't it? I believe it was.
Well,
had a bond drive. Ted Bolt was involved in it, and Bud Sherwood, and who else?
Mark Erickson was
Mark Erickson uh-huh. involved in it. When I was mayor, I appointed Mark Erickson as a member of the Board of Public.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah. Then I ran against him. I asked his permission. I said, you don't mind if I do? He said, no, if you want that job, you're going to have it.
But he still ran.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Okay, well, I won. Anyway, when you pick this thing up.
Yes, okay.
You see this bazaar?
This bazaar, yeah.
He was here. Okay. He was commanding officer of the Raritan when they picked him up.
Uh-huh.
So we had him here as a guest of the city.
Uh-huh.
And so...
What if he's still living?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't want this. Who gets this tape?
No, just for
a way.
Yeah.
We had a ceremony out of the high school. Dean Hilgen.
Yeah.
And he was so proud.
Well, you partied these guys.
I was mayor. I didn't know how to get him off the stage. It was very embarrassing.
Oh, I think I do remember that. Yeah, I'm sure I was out there.
Well, that was another. Now I'm working on another one.
What is that?
It's C-80. We had a boy from Grand Haven by the name of Raymond Fisher.
Ray Fisher,
who was the son of James Fisher. And he, let's see here, to be sure, Jay Fisher.
Jay Fisher.
He lived out at the corner of Sheldon Road, out in that area. Corner of Sheldon and corner there. Well, anyways.
But he's related to Ray, though, isn't he?
Ray is Ray. No, Ray Fisher. Well, it's actually Richard Fisher.
Okay.
And he was the son of Jay Fisher.
Okay.
Who was a rural mail carrier and a World War veteran. So he went into the Navy and got into the aviation deal.
Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, that
looks like Air Force. Well, is it? No, that was just the one. That's Navy.
Navy.
Oh, yes.
And so he was in the Pearson, right here.
Yeah, I see.
He was in a graduating class down there, and the day they were to graduate, they reviewed everybody's qualifications and so on. And he lacked 4 hours of navigation. 4 hours only. So he went out. His boss took him, his commanding officer took him, flew with him, instructor. And they took the ship and they went out, this airplane, they flew out over the Gulf. And they never returned.
Oh, okay.
And so years later, a wheel washed up on the beach in the Gulf.
Uh-huh.
And they claimed that it was probably the plane was sunk by a German submarine.
The plane
was shot down.
Is that right?
Right. So people don't realize how close the war was to our shores. And so they're setting up a memorial now to these people.
Uh-huh.
And so through the ACI and myself and this gentleman in Colorado and out in the West, there's two or three of them, we've been in contact. We're going to do something. So Grand Haven's thing will be there too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. You know, could they identify that wheel?
Yes, that's how they identified the ship.
They knew.
The plane. They used those amphibious planes. What do they call them?
PBYs.
PBYs.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
They trained them.
Yeah. And even though it may not have been armed, it certainly sighted the submarine.
I'm sure. Probably they did radio back or something.
Uh-huh.
It went on. I just thought I'd show you this because it's a project I'm working on now.
Yeah.
That's all your stuff. You keep
well, good. Thank you. I do appreciate it.
Well, anyways, I think the Coast Guard is doing real well.
Yeah.
I think they've got some good people on that committee, wonderful people. And they're all dedicated people.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Right.
Because that takes a lot of guts.
Yeah.
You take a lot of guts.
How big is 1990 going to be?
Oh, I think it'll be a big deal.
Yeah.
I think that Clausen will do a good job. And he's got a good committee, I think. And... I think it'll be real good. I haven't seen all the programs, but one thing I would like to do, I haven't given it up yet. You know, when we changed, when I dropped out, well, when I was still president of the Coast Guard Special Committee,
I handle certain things that I like. Uh-huh. And I handle all the dedications and the memorial services. Did you like the one of the Esplanade?
You bet.
Where they drop flowers?
Yeah, that was.
So I want to set up a memorial service all over the world, worldwide memorial service.
Yes, right. That really, I think that would.
And that
would catch on.
That's right. And so anybody that had an installation, a Coast Guard station or anything, ship or anything. Mm-hmm. At the time the Grand Haven started their memorial service, maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now New York would be a different time and so on. But they would be meeting at 3 o'clock. So we would have a worldwide memorial service.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say.
It might be at 2 a.m. in some remote places.
Yeah, no, they had been yesterday too.
Yeah, that's right.
But these are the things that I think.
Yeah.
It's good to do these things. The service appreciates it, I know that. Because I know that many people have said to me that the choice place to be assigned is Grand Haven.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You see, when we first started out, there's a man out here at East Tree, on the little factory out there, wanted us to build or arrange for the building of a recreation hall for the Coast Guard. Right down there alongside before you, where the road goes down to the ship, down on the base, and the mast is over here.
Oh, yes, okay.
Right to between that and the mast.
Right.
And that would have the rooms for parents to stay and the recreational pool tables and so on. Well, right after that, then the Y was organized, so we figured that could cover that situation.
Sure, sure.
And what the city has done and the Y board has done, I think it's wonderful.
Are they honorary members, or do they pay just a pittance of a fee to?
No, we.
What is the arrangement? They don't.
You mean the
Coast Guard
people to go the Y?
Yes.
I don't know what it is anymore, but they've been treated very nicely.
Oh yes.
And they put on a race. We get a certain income from that race, you know. When there's
you mean the road race? Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah, we furnish the trophies.
Oh, I
things
see.
Things like that.
I didn't know that.
Because it's recognized now as one of the big races in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Coast Guard presents the trophy.
Uh-huh.
And it's called the Coast Guard.
Yes, I know that.
No, see,
sure.
So
sure.
You see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, you were talking about getting these memorial services coordinated.
Right.
Now, who do you work through to get this done?
I work through Cleveland office. But I will work through our new group commander here to get it started.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'll have to have approval of the committee up here, but they know what my thinking is.
Oh, heaven.
And I think that'd be a marvelous thing.
Oh.
All over the world.
That's great.
And we can even go further than that. We can even go ahead and maybe get the Canadian Coast Guard. There's a Coast Guard of other nations.
Yes.
See what I mean?
But their ships are red, aren't they?
Well, we have two red ships, too.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. That's so that you can be kicked out from ice
of
an airplane.
Oh, yes. No, I see. Of course. Yeah. You were on white ships.
But those are the things we can do. Now, the building, this program on the building down here, when the board approved, three of us approved the transfer of the board
to
the building. That's been one of the greatest things that could have happened to Grand Haven.
You bet.
And of course, we've been under a lot of criticism.
Sure.
By our own board members.
Well, then
they just raised.
They all put a dollar amount on it.
So this is something you can't measure. But
exactly.
You know, some years back, the woodbine would disappear for maybe 3 weeks in the summertime. I couldn't figure out where they were. So I said to Joe one day, I said, Joe, what are you supposed to do? Well, he says, we have a training session up at the Sioux. All the ships in Lake Michigan, this class, and I forget the class of the woodbine, but they go there and they train, rifle practice, the whole thing. And it brings all those men in, and maybe 5 or 6 ships. Well, now with our new setup, they will come here. Deetson's already working on it. He hadn't missed a bet on it. He's right after it.
We lost the rifle range, of course.
Yeah, that was, all the Coast Guard people came here from all over Michigan,
yeah,
and they shot there at Fairfield.
That's a park now.
That's a park.
Maybe it's better use for it. But where are they going to shoot now? In their ranges? Or?
I don't know how they do it now.
Yeah.
Of course, they have these different guns now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's about
well, it. Okay. Well, appreciate it.
Sorry to take all your time, but
all your time, you mean.
I wanted you to have
yeah.
this
stuff. Well, I appreciate this.
People don't have that, you know, a lot of people don't have that.
Listen, this is invaluable. Of course, you've collected this over a period of a few years.
I do the same thing on Duncan Woods. I've got a file on Duncan Woods.
Have you really?
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't even have the deeds.
Yeah. You know, when Leo Lilly finished his book, that was the last chapter of how Mrs. Duncan had, she survived her husband.
Oh, yes.
And he had been there.
Yeah. He's an attorney.
Uh-huh. Right. And then she died somewhere about, just about the turn of the century, wasn't it?
I think she done well. It was after the turn of the century.
Was it?
She dedicated the park, I think, in 1903 or 1913. I'd have to check that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'd have to check that.
Boy, a few cities have what we have here.
Yeah, we get criticized for that, too. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's all for you?
No! Well, keep it good. We'll talk Duncan's for a while.
Well, Ben Erickson, he was a loyal supporter of the park.
Mm-hmm.
But he always thought that should be residential.
Oh, sure. Well, that's the
only thing. We had a lot of arguments with him. I stood out in front of his house on the curb there. He and I just went at it, you know. And but he was very good. He, and Paul Johnson's been running in there. He helped us get our road through there. And he's done a lot of good. The Duncan Woods is quite a woods.
Oh, yeah.
And environmentalists like the way we're doing it. We don't burn a thing in there. We used to burn leaves in there. We used to rake all the leaves up on the road, and then when the crew went back to eat, young kids would come and say the pile's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of trouble. We had
so now you haul them out, probably.
No, we haul them into the low spots, into the park where we have low spots.
Spoil areas.
Mm-hmm. And we spread them out, and I'm going to plant a few poplar trees in there.
Uh-huh. Are you really? Now, you open that and close it, and...
No, we don't have to do that anymore. The one on Lake Avenue, it can be open. We have a fire in and everything in case of fire. But we don't open that for general traffic, car traffic.
Otherwise, it'd be just a...
There will be a lot of accidents there. And I lived right in the first other house there. And so then what we do, we close that at the picnic area. That's locked, too. At the one side of the picnic area. You come in from Sheldon Road, so you have availability of the picnic area.
Okay.
Then the section from there on to my house,
yes,
Lake Avenue, is for kids. They have a 3D golf course in there. You ever seen one of those?
No.
They mark a number on a tree.
Okay.
And then they go...
Oh, Frisbee. Okay, I got you. Sure.
They have that in there.
Yes, okay.
The kids, I know the Johnson boy and Jacobson boy. There's Jacobson boy. He always had his gang from college when he was going to college.
Yeah.
He always came in the summer to his home. They would go over there just playing through the meadow. You could see these guys going. And we've gone ahead and we fixed the meadow up. We mowed that here, that whole thing. And so they can sled ride there. We had fill put in up there. And we've gone ahead and we've filled an area right across from Ben Erickson's house. That was all filled in because it used to be the curb and right down in the woods.
Uh-huh.
So that's been all filled in. This lawn there, we mowed that. We need to take care of all our mowing, everything.
Is this self-sustaining?
Oh, yeah.
When you say we? So there's still money available.
Not for the Duncan. We closed the Duncan thing out, Duncan Trust out. Oh, lands. 15 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It didn't pay anything, you know, and it was more of a hardship for the bank.
Uh-huh.
You know, we used to get $500 a year.
Not enough to keep it going.
So we were very saving. We had, when people passed away, they would get estates. We get certain amounts of money for them.
That people would just contribute to the Duncan Woods?
To their loans and trust funds. And so then Mayor Pickford?
Well, back in the 30s.
Sure.
Oh, I don't remember it. No,
but
I know.
When did you come here?
55. Yeah.
Okay, well, Mayor Cook, that was 1953. In there, sometimes there was a talk of developing a road right straight through, coming out on the road in front of Marietta High School.
Going up
would be right up to our picket fence. And Mr. Cook, I used to know him as a big foot. Not be on the park, and he'd have little white feet, little white dog. And he'd sit there and we'd talk, and he says, you know, Granny, he says, someday you're going to have a gift if that road doesn't go through here. I didn't know that. I didn't know that road. Well, that's fine. And so I promised him the road, as long as I was alive, would never go through there.
Okay.
If I had to stand out there with an American flag and a shotgun, you should have heard of that. Well, he was, Dick was a real fine person. So when he passed away, he split his estate right down through the middle and gave us thousands of dollars.
Okay.
And the other balance of this went to his parents.
Okay.
And his one brother wasn't too happy.
Uh-huh.
Dick Cook, the reason Dick and I got along so well, he was a forester.
Oh.
So he and I, we knew what a tree was.
You must know Pete Tellis too, then.
Oh, Pete and I worked together.
You must have, sure.
Sure, seems so.
Oh, okay.
He came to Grand Haven.
I realize it. Sure, he did.
You know where our first office was in Grand Haven?
No. Oh, he told me a house somewhere.
No, in a vault. In a vault, the old courthouse.
You're kidding.
No. Was I here before Pete?
He was here in 30...
I came here in 39.
He was here in 33, I think, or
no, we didn't organize until 38.
Oh, okay. Well,
anyway,
he came here with the soil conservation.
That's what I did. That's the
same deal.
That's the department of the...
Well, maybe you came together then.
Pete and I, we go to the same church and so on.
Yeah.
He's talking about it. He and I were going to, and the Deer King up in Durkin, up in Muskegon.
Uh-huh.
He's still around. Yeah.
Well, anyway, you're talking about Dick Cook and...
So anyway, yeah. We got considerable monies. And we've been... living off of the just the interest of that money, and the labor. I receive no pay or anything. I do all this stuff. And I have a lot of other people who do it too.
Mm-hmm.
You take Seymour Van Wielden.
Now he's on the board, is he?
Oh, but he picks up the cans and everything. Then his retired old school teacher comes by there every morning, circles the park, and some other big cans.
Who is it?
I don't know. He lives on the corner of Sheldon Road and in Woodlow. The house there.
Right. Oh, right across
sure.
The back. That's McLaughlin. It is McLaughlin.
It is. It's right across the street.
Right.
Facing Sheldon Road. Has a high chimney. Still chimney.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know his name. But he never speaks to me. I speak to him once in a while. And he'll never say a boo. As he walks.
Yeah.
And so one morning he came by and he had trouble with a man who was going to repair his chimney. And he came over and he says, you realize what it cost to fix that chimney? Well, I was dumbfounded. I didn't want chimneys on there. But he told me. And then we had Welling, who passed away here just for a time ago. He used to work in People's Bank.
Art!
Right?
He was with you.
Yep, now wait a minute. He was like Seymour.
Uh-huh.
They went through there and they would pick up waste paper. They'd do everything. And they'd walk the dogs.
Uh-huh. Sure.
See, we're the only place that I know of in this area that commits dogs in a park to run. Muskegon people bring their dogs down here.
And you allow them to run?
We let them run.
Why not? That's great.
They can't bring them. They exercise the squirrels. You know. So anyway,
fertilize the grass. And what difference?
Well, that is a little disgusting at times when the people don't clean up after them.
Well.
But it's been pretty good. I can't.
Yeah.
People enjoy it.
Sure.
And Harbeck, you know, they went out on Lincoln Street to live. He built a home out there.
Gee. Yes.
Right. And they bring their dogs in.
Salvation wagon.
Yeah. So you see, the park is a marvelous thing.
How many acres is it?
I think it's about 55, 56.
Wow. Much bigger than I thought.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, yes. We tried to get some more in the cemetery. And
well, it abuts it.
Yeah, well, we wanted it from the cemetery because they have one area back of John Wallhouse place out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids in there are just raising cane, the cars and everything, going up into the sand, tearing everything up. And I went to the cemetery board and I told them what we wanted to do. If they weren't going to use it, they'd use it as a dump.
Mm-hmm.
And we would put, you know, we would ski trails through there.
Sure.
And we used... labor from school here. Got Doc Robertson's boy worked in there, made him a foreman one time.
Oh, is that right?
Sure. Yeah. All the kids that have worked in the park have gone to college. Every day.
Now you pay them.
Oh, yeah, they pay minimum wage.
Okay. But now, what sustains it? It must be a budget item with the city.
Oh, the city will be paying it.
Well, where do you get the funds?
We get the interest from our money that we have collected.
I see.
See, that goes into our account, not the city.
So it is self-sustaining.
Oh, you better be.
Like the Dick Cook. And,
you better be.
But Duncan is gone now.
Duncan is gone. And the state's been closed.
But there's still enough money and interest. And you solicit this? I never...
Well, we don't make it... the Undertaker realizes. But we don't make a big point of it. But
you've got enough, well, within reason enough.
Well, we have between the new picture, $60,000.
And that's enough to keep it going.
We get $4,500 a year. We have the bank handle our money, so they invest and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And we don't have to have an audit. We get everything through the bank.
Sure.
Like books, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Dorothy Timber, do you know Dorothy?
Sure.
Dorothy's our loyal worker. She's our secretary.
Oh, yeah. Well, she lives right there someplace.
She lives on Grand.
On Grand, of course, yeah.
Okay. He also used to work with her husband.
Over at Andersonville?
Andersonville,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've been retired what?
Since 1980.
From Anderson Bowling?
Yeah. I've been on the board line power 22 years.
22 years.
22 years since then.
Yeah. And don't plan to quit either.
Well, at times I get a little bit. Well, that'll give you an idea of what it's all about.
Oh, this is great.